Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located off of 454 West King Street. 265-1886 is the number for some great pizza. And we just finished up NFL talk, kind of moving on now. We got plenty coming up in this final segment, talking some Major League Baseball. I'm still awaiting a certain tribute by yours truly over here, Chris Kroeger.
I worked hard on it. I really did. I scoured all of my resources. I scoured the archives, pulled out some great beauties from Yankees history. So I do want to share it with you because I did spend a lot of time on it. I hope you like it.
I know. You know what? I was actually surprised. You came in Thursday. You took the crow like a man, the humble pie.
Well, you show up wearing your freaking Mickey Mantle throwback jersey, wearing the polyester. It was like the real deal. That was straight out of 1935.
Hey. Got to live in the Yankee lore. That was the great times. So I'll tell you what. Yogi Berra had, 10 rings?
It actually looked like it was made out of wool. It didn't even look comfortable. You know, now that we wear
it. I felt like I had a sheep or a lamb on me. I really did. It was very comfortable.
Kazepas has given us the no-show. I don't know what's going on. The computer's wanting to throw fits. We're not going to be able to run this tonight.
Yeah, let's not blame this on me because I want to hear it too. So
we'll do what we can. If we can't play it tonight, we'll get it to you on Wednesday. We'll figure it out. I promise.
I am owed this at least.
You're not owed anything. I tell you what.
Especially after your waffling.
I will say this. I did going into the World Series, before we got real close to the start of it, I did look at it and say, we talked about this before the playoffs even started. I picked the Yankees to win. I looked at that team, and
that's what you get for not sticking with your picks.
No.
Like I said,
I mean, what's the matter? They're not my team. I could care less if I stick with them or not. I felt like the Yankees were the best.
What's the good of making picks? Unbelievable.
No, it's not like they're your team. You root for them. I could care less if they win or not. I just felt long story short, going into the playoffs, I felt like the Yankees were the better team. I felt like they had the best team chemistry, which isn't something you normally say.
They were
about
the best team.
Yeah. And the
Phillies, I think, were the second
best
team.
But I think when you move closer to the World Series, the Phillies had been playing the best baseball out of any of the teams in the playoffs. Their offense was on par with the Yankees. Their pitching was on par with the Yankees. And then you looked at them being defending champions, and I thought, you know what? I think maybe Lady Magic is on her side for the second time in a row. Let's try and go with the Phillies and end up.
Well, whenever you throw Pedro out there, whenever you throw a weak Cole Hamels and then Joe Blanton out there, you don't have the advantage.
Well,
no matter,
but Pedro outpitched Andy Pettitte in Game 3, and then Game six rolls around and Andy Pettitte outpitches Pedro. So it was one of those things where really I think what killed the Phillies down the stretch is the lack of a true number two, and Cole Hamels just absolute obliteration and destruction throughout the postseason. We watched his decline that killed the Phillies,
and it showed you too what maybe it's a different philosophy or whatever, but Joe Girardi said, hey, I have three workhorses. I trust these guys. I don't trust anybody
people
else.
Second guessing left and right.
I'm going to go with it. And you know what, there was a critic that came out. I do not know what his name is, but he's a writer for Sports Illustrated. He's a new guy that actually said, hey, you know what, I was glad that they finally did this. What's the problem with working these guys? It's the postseason. It's all hands on deck. This is what it's all about.
Oh, yeah,
if you want to win a championship, you pitch 20 innings if you have to in back-to-back games or whatever. You pitch till you don't have anything left, because right now you have 4 or 5 months off until you start back up again. And so this is why you do all of this.
And I thought the Phillies, if they could win Game 6, they would be at that point. I thought if they could get a good performance from Pedro in Game 6, at least go 6 or 7 innings with solid pitching, with barely breaking in maybe your first man into the bullpen, I thought they stood a chance in winning that game. And I thought once they got to Game 7, if they were able to force a Game 7, it would be of epic proportions, because like you just said, it would be all hands on deck. The Yankees, I think it was one of those situations where if it pays off, it's great. If it doesn't, you're going to be second-guessed for the rest of your life. Joe Girardi was on the side where it paid off. But if you're the guy, we've seen other guys, Grady.
Well, I think when you have A.J. Burnett, C.C. Sabathia, and Andy Pettitte, it's going to pay
off
nine times out of 10.
Yeah, but one of those times it doesn't. You look back to the Boston Red Sox back in 04 or in 03, excuse me, when Grady Little was managing the team before Terry Francona comes in, and they had a lot of older solid veterans in the rotation, and they decide to ride these guys, especially namely Pedro Martinez. And what happens, you ride him a little bit too long because he's saying, hey coach, this one's on me, I think I can have it. Well, you should never listen to him, because Grady Little made the wrong choice. It's one of those decisions. Same thing happened in this year.
And that's the tough part. Is knowing when to toe the line as a manager. Okay, do I trust the player because, you know, he's respected and he's a great pitcher, or do I go with my instinct?
And I think that's one of those things where as a manager, it's a little bit of a leap of faith. And if it works, you're the hero. If it doesn't work, you know what? You're going to be the guy who's hung outside the stadium after the World Series. So I think Joe Girardi, he made a lot of good decisions. But at the same time, I think he also, you know, he trusted his players, and his players made some plays for him and was able to make it pay off.
And that's what you should be able to do, especially as a manager. When you have the, I mean, let's be honest, being a Yankee fan, I know how much is on the payroll. I know how much talent is there. When you have that much talent and you're paying them that much money, you got to be able to trust the talent and just let them go out there and play. You can't put handcuffs on them and expect them to win a World Series. And that's what he said. He said, all right, taking the handcuffs off, we're just going to go, you know, we're going to go with pure talent. I think he learned that in the postseason, actually, because you saw in that Angels series when he was messing around with the bullpen multiple times, people started to question him, and he really wasn't going with his instinct. He was like, all right, well, here's on paper. This is what I should do. Instead, he said, you know what? I'm going to go with the best players in the best situation, trust the players, and that's what's going to get me the World Series.
And the Yankees end up coming out on top, 27 now World Series. No team is going to be catching up anytime soon.
Hey, yeah, it's absolutely incredible. Most of any franchise.
It's in all of pro sports. It's quite ridiculous. But congratulations to the Yankees. They really were the best team. Once again, we can't get that tribute working. We'll get it to you on Wednesday. I promise, Brandon. It's not my own doing.
You know what? I trust you, Chris.
The baseball and computer gods are conspiring against you tonight.
They must be Red Sox. This next gen is Red Sox.
I'm not going to say anything more about that. So we'll get you to that on Wednesday. Talking some NHL real quick. Over the weekend, you know, we had Greg Wyshynski on from Puck Daddy last week, and we were talking Ken the
Hurricane. Great guy, too.
Yeah, great guy. Fellow New Jerseyan. From Monmouth County, a place.
Start the connections.
A place close to my own heart.
So, you sound like a classmate ad. Oh, well, did you grow up in New Jersey around 1983?
Hey,
me too. Did you go to this high school?
It's like all of America has conspired against New Jersey. When you find somebody else from New Jersey, you kind of got to stick together because nobody else is pulling for you. That's all I'm going to say.
I've been through New Jersey. It's very stinky. That's all I can say.
I will say this. It does have the nickname of being America's armpit. It's kind of comical. I happen to be born on the Jersey Shore, so it was actually a nice part of New Jersey.
The shores are nice.
Yeah, you go on the opposite side of New York City and Manhattan, Hoboken, Jersey City.
That's where the fumes from New York and everything go. The toilet fumes, the sewer.
Oh my goodness. Harsh, my friend. But we'll continue anyway. Talk to Greg, and we asked him, can the Hurricanes right the ship? He said, you know what? I do think there is something there. Well, Saturday rolls around, and what happens? They suffer another setback, and this time of devastating proportions.
It's awful. Everything is going wrong.
As all-star goalie Cam Ward was sliced on his thigh by all-star Rick Nash of the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus
Saturday. Through his gear and everything.
Yeah, went through his padding right there on his upper thigh, his shorts that they wear. And it was serious. He was down on the ice, and Cam is a very, very strong guy. Hockey players normally are.
When you're a goalie, you got to be a strong player.
Yeah, and hockey players normally are the toughest of. I will say hockey players, in my opinion, are the toughest of any athlete in any sport. I'll take them pound
for
pound.
You get into so many fights, and you have to be slammed up into the glass all the time?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So he gets injured. He's down on the ice. He's not moving. Play ends up stopping. They go down to him. The trainers have to lift him. He does not move at all. They end up carrying him off the ice. He goes to the hospital, stayed overnight again last night, finally came home to Raleigh today. The diagnosis, he's going to be out from anywhere from 3 weeks, maybe up to somewhere where 6 weeks, maybe up to 2 months. I mean, you think about a guy that's sprawling around a net, moving, dodging. I mean, he's doing everything. He had to have stitches in his upper thigh. That's not going to be able to easy to move without agitating that injury.
And so my question is, what can the NHL do? What should the NHL do to really better protect? Because we've seen especially within the last 5 years, it seems like that's really gone up.
Absolutely.
A lot of slashing. I mean, the neck, whoever.
Richard Zegnik 2 years ago got scared. He was lucky to be alive. There was another goalie back in the 80s who had his neck sliced. It's one of those things where it comes with the sport. Quite honestly, it sounds careless, but there's nothing you can do in the sport of hockey to save these sort of things.
The reason with him staying overnight, they were worried about it being close to the artery, isn't that?
They were worried about him being close to the artery.
Because when you think of a leg, you don't really think that much of like big arteries or bleeding to death, but you really can. Yeah. You get shot in the leg, you can bleed to death.
And they were also worried about infection. They were also worried about any time you're on a plane, change in cabin pressure, you moving long, especially after that sort of injury, is very severe. That he lost a lot of blood, some out there on the ice, so it was very serious. They didn't want to mess with that. And so the Hurricanes go out and sign veteran goaltender Manny Legacy to a one-year, two-way deal. Solid pickup for who was available. He was the best free agent available. He spent the summer camp.
When you're going to the bottom of the barrel, that's a pretty good pickup.
But he was the guy who's played with the Red Wings for the past 5 years. He also played with St. Louis. He's a solid goaltender. He's got a great record in this league. His numbers the last time he played in the NHL back in 07 with the Blues, not very great, but I think he's a good stopgap. And I think this is one of those situations where the Hurricanes this is really where we're going to see what they're made of. They've lost 12 straight at this point, and if they have anything left in their tank, if they want to get their season going, if they really care about Cam Ward and what he's meant to this team, you start winning some games without him. And then I think when he comes back, that could be a huge momentum shifter. We're getting ahead of ourselves. They got to win a game first. But I think
which they haven't done in a while.
No, they haven't done it in 12 games. I think they might be decent on this one.
I see Ward as definitely the Hurricanes' best, I mean, most effective player.
Oh, yes. He's a goalie that's he's trying to start for Team Canada in the Olympics this winter.
And I'm not saying they can't win games without him, but I just see it being so hard without your best player.
You see, I do agree, but I think Manny Legacy, I think it's going to force the team to play better in front of their goalie. When you don't have a great goalie, it really forces you to be better and more consistent defensively. I think it's going to force them to do that on the ice. And like I said, if maybe they go 500, a few games under 500 with Cam Ward gone, that's a huge improvement than what they've played with Cam Ward there.
Yeah, and really, once you've lost so many games, you got to be able to win something. And you got to be able to, once you've lost so many games, you got to be able to find another way to win. And maybe rallying behind Cam Ward as kind of that's your new slogan or whatever. Hey, let's win it for Cam. Maybe that starts to get something going and really gets his team going in the right direction.
Who knows? Maybe Tim Conboy starts setting records.
Yeah, well, our boy Tim Conboy, friend of the show.
Might be famous soon.
And I tell you what, this is one of those situations I feel bad for Cam, not necessarily for what the season meant because the season's been so bad at this point, but legitimately, he was going up to be the starter for Team Canada in the Winter Olympics this winter. This is a major setback for that injury and those games coming up in the winter. And an injury like this, it's one of those things where you got to give it time to heal. And if you don't and you keep tweaking it and messing it up, you keep opening up that wound, it's going to be very dangerous. As a goalie who moves around so much, it might not be very effective. Running out of time because Epis checklist time. Let's go, buddy.
Oh, the days get longer and longer, fellas.
It's dark out here. I can't believe it.
I know. 1961, the PGA eliminates their Caucasian-only rule. And I say this because my favorite player, not Tiger Woods, Vijay Singh.
Really?
Vijay Singh,
fan,
the cheater.
Yeah. I've always been an Adam.
You know, he's banned in China because he cheated.
I've always been an Adam Scott fan. The guy's never done anything on a PGA Tour though.
1965, the great northeastern blackout occurred, where several states and parts of Canada were hit with power failures lasting up to 13 and a half hours.
You know what's funny? I was watching 60 Minutes last night. Yes, 60 Minutes. That's 60 Minutes.
Oh, wow.
And there was a great story on cyber attacks about how infrastructure can be damaged by cyber attacks, shutting down power to millions of people at a time. That's scary stuff.
That's always, and security too. I mean, like files getting hacked and stuff from CIA.
Not to incite riots out there in the crowds, but I mean, just be careful.
Not to encourage bad behavior. Yeah.
Are you watching Law and Order at nights too these days?
Just 60 Minutes. I like the news docs.
All right.
He's watching Matlock reruns.
Not into the drama, just the news docs.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Sandy Peppa Denton of Salt and Pepper. She's 40 today.
Oh, Peppa.
Yeah.
Oh, Peppa. Peppa's my girl.
Yeah, there you go.
Talk about a 90s
something we got a link on our Facebook, on our fan page, Sports Out the Wazoo. The Villanova Richmond game. The color guard dropped the F bomb there at the end of the game, and I don't want to quote him, but he really wanted that game to end pretty bad, it seemed like, at the end.
I heard it, and it was not pretty.
I still can't figure out who it was. I don't know if it was an off-mic producer, which I feel like it was. They showed the replay to kick, and he said, "What a bomb. Let's end this blanking game." And I tell you what, somebody... There's going to be we've been talking about unemployment numbers in the U.S. It just rose by 0.001% today.
Yeah, not here at WASU.
He's going to be a bum now.
Yeah, he is a bum.
Yeah, a Twitter battle going on right now.
A serious one.
Mike Tyson and Jared Allen. It's really going at it. I'm checking out some of the things going on over here.
It's NSFW. Ever heard that?
It sounds like Ocho's involved almost. I feel like Ocho's talking sometimes.
No, you got to always feel like Ocho's involved.
Ocho doesn't bring it to this level. Some really vulgar stuff going on. A lot of your mama jokes going back and forth between Jared Allen and Mike Tyson.
Let's hope they're just jokes, right? Appreciate it, fellas.
No problem. Throwing verbal punches. I'd actually like to see some real punches being thrown between Jared Allen and Mike Tyson. Might be fun to see that. More Sports Out the Wazoo. We're coming back on Wednesday. We're out of time right now. Tell you what, we'll be back. We're gonna have that. Oh my gosh.
This
really?
Is a little tribute to you, Chris. Since we couldn't get the New York tribute, we leave you with it. New York, New York.
You couldn't save it for when.
This is a classic. I hope Dan's listening because Dan said he loves this song. I love this song. Even if you're not a Yankees fan or from New York, you got
to
love this
song. We got to get out of here. Not to hurry it up. We'll be back on Wednesday. I'll have that Yankees tribute for you. Also, some NBA talk. The Bobcats off to a decent start. 3-3. Still can't score. We'll talk about that as well. Lots more sports. Keep it connected. Hit us up at twitter.com/SOTW_show or facebook.com/sportsoutthewazoo if you want to stay connected while we're not on air. For Brandon, myself, Aaron, Brian, and of course Gazepas, making things run beautifully as always. More Sports at the Wazoo. We'll be back same time, same station on Wednesday on 90.5 WASU FM, online at WASURocks.com. New York, New York, baby.